please turn with me once again to Acts, to the second chapter. And we continue this study concerning what Peter was proclaiming at Pentecost, and he used the message, the prophecy from Joel, and how that it was fulfilled, and then he brought in the David from the Psalms and proclaimed what he said, and then he makes the connection that it's not talking about the David, he's not talking about himself, he's talking about the Messiah, and we make that very clear. And so we're going to begin reading in verse 25 of Acts chapter 2. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted at having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith unto them himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and read your precious word. And as Peter rightly divided the word in bringing Joel and Psalms into this this day, this preaching at Pentecost, this proclaiming of the Lord Jesus at Pentecost, to confirm and Peter, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, rightly divided the word. And so let us do that today. Let's hear clearly what David was speaking of. Let's understand what Peter is proclaiming here, that we may know your truth, and it will set us free. If we are not a child of God, we need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And it will also give us a joy in our hearts every day after the day we've been set free and walk on that path that you set us on. And so please, dear Lord, touch the hearts of those that are lost here today, and give those that are saved, give them a blessing and lift them up today, and just help us, Father, to see you clear each and every day. And we do that by the Holy Spirit through the Son to you, dear Father. So please speak to all of our hearts today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This text that you see and we have read from, you know, if you have missed a month of Sunday of church, and you find that we're still in that same a section of scripture that Peter was proclaiming concerning at Pentecost, I promise that the crowd probably did not stand for 5 or 6 hours to listen to Peter proclaim this. But there's so much in there, and every time that I open it up and begin to search the scriptures, it just comes. More areas open up, and I hope that you're receiving a blessing from this study. I know that I sure am, and I hope that you are. We go from in the 27th verse, he speaks of death and the burial of the Lord Jesus. And then we come to the 28th verse, and that 28th verse, we find that he speaks of the life that Jesus has restored. It's the life that has come after the crucifixion and after him being laid in the tomb. It is his resurrection that this 28th verse is speaking of. And as we look at this 28th verse, because we have again looked at verse 26 and 27 last time we were together, and thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now, this way of life has come through the burial and the resurrection. And as David here, and we're going to get into that in a little bit, but I believe that our God, through the Holy Spirit, has shown David clearly the Lord Jesus Christ, and how Jesus was on the cross, and how he died on the cross, and how he was buried, and how he rose again. I think David saw that. I don't think it was just something that the Spirit of God had him to record in this Psalms. I think, and I think it confirms it in these verses of Scripture, that David saw that all those years ahead. I believe God gave him a vision, and he showed him how that his Savior was going to go to the cross, and how he was going to suffer, how he was going to die, but how he was going to be raised from the dead. And I think he saw the risen Christ. I think that David had that opportunity. And so with that in mind, as we look through these verses of Scripture, we see that thou shalt make me full of joy. Now, was that speaking of David, or was that speaking of the Lord Jesus? I believe it was speaking of the Lord Jesus, that he was full of joy as he completed the work that God the Father had sent him to do. He has come to the cross. He suffered the cross as a human. He was completely man and completely God. And so as he would come now, and as he would face this time of suffering, it was a horrible time of suffering. He was human, just like we're human. He would feel all that pain and all that suffering. And yet he could look through that, and he could see that joy that was coming after the cross. And so wonderful, and I believe this verse here that David is referring to the joy that our Messiah was enjoying when he faced the death and was risen from the dead and the work was complete. It was a joy that he had for us. And you see, because of this joy, and again, the suffering and the joy, and 2 weeks ago I mentioned just a couple of things, and I want to mention it again today, and that is that God being man, and I love this comparison, as the Lord Jesus stood before Lazarus' grave, and he wept, that's the man. And then he spoke, and he come out of that grave alive, that's God. What a picture. I love the two, looking at how we have the man and God in this person of Jesus Christ, and to see both of those, the feelings that he had, the emotions that man has, and he felt that as he looked at the tomb and Lazarus was laying in that tomb, and then for him to, you know, have to, Lazarus has to face death and have to go through that because of sin, and yet then he could speak and Lazarus come forth. Now, man can't do that, but God can. And then the other example that we had, and that is that as the Lord Jesus hung on the cross, and as he's suffering, and as he would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's man. But then he came off that cross and put in the grave, and then he rose from the dead. That's God. So you see, we have a beautiful pictures of the human side of the Lord Jesus and his side of being God, being deity. And I've always enjoyed that example there. And so when we look at this and we see in verse 28, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." And I believe that that is David. I believe David feels that and believes that, but I believe also he is looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see, we can come in here and we have his death, and we have his life, and we have his resurrection when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so what a beautiful a picture here we have in verse 28. And now on to 29, and here is where Peter then begins to tie everything together. He is taking the Psalm 16, and he has spoken that to the people that were there, which they knew that psalm, and they know David. Those two, they are very much aware of. David was held in the highest. The next to David were in that area would have been Abraham. For them to look up to a patriarch, to a man. And so, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Peter, without question, spoke these words by following the Lord. And now, as he has completed this psalm, he comes and he says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day." Now, these words, "men and brethren," it wasn't but just a short time before that these same people in the crowd said, "They're drunk with wine." These people are drunk because they were speaking with such power and authority of the Holy Spirit that's the only answer that the public, that the flesh, that man could come up with, that they're drunk. And Peter did not hold that statement against them. He held them with respect. And he said, "Men and brethren," because you see, we need to bring the gospel to people. We don't need to condemn and criticize people. We need to take the gospel to them. And that's what Peter is doing here. And he comes with this statement of respect, "Men and brethren." And so then Peter begins to explain how this is not David. David's not talking about himself here. And that's what Peter is going to tie in all the prophecy of David that was brought forward, and here it is. Now, you know David. You believe David. You've trusted David. And this is where Peter begins to rightly divide the word. And we need to do that. We need to take the truth, the word of God, and we need to properly divide it. Sometimes, you know, we'll find that we'll take a verse of Scripture, one or two verses of Scripture, we'll bring it out and says, "This is what it says." Well, the Word of God confirms the Word of God. And so if you want an answer to a question you have, go to the Word of God to find that answer, because that's where the truth will be found. And Peter, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, knew that David was not talking about himself. He was talking about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, the one that was to come. And so as we look at this, he begins to explain that. This must be about the Messiah. It must be about that one's to come. And then he says, "Let me freely speak to you." Let me freely speak unto you. And that word "freely speak" means to clearly and boldly speak. And he wants to come out. You see, he has to be very careful that he does not condemn or criticize David. Because he's saying, this isn't about David. Well, then is he, by making that statement, is he criticizing their king? He doesn't want to do that. And so he comes and he says, "Let me freely speak. Let me speak with a clarity. Let me speak with a boldness here. Please listen. David was a good man. David was a righteous man. David was our king. But David is dead." There's going to be a difference here. David is dead. And he goes about to prove this. If we look back into the 27th verse of Scripture, we see a statement that says, "Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." It cannot be David. It can't be David because David saw corruption. And again, Peter's being very careful by the leadership of the Holy Spirit to not belittle, not take something away from their great King David. And yet he has to get to someone that is much more superior than David, and that is King Jesus. We've got to get off of King David and over to King Jesus. And that's what Peter is doing here. Because once they admit that this cannot be David, then it's going to be much like it was the day that I was presented the gospel and went through the gospel many times. And I came to the point where I knew that this person was taking these scripture verses out of context, because I had never heard that ye must be born again. I never heard that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall. I never heard those words. And so they've pulled those out of context, and so they must not be true. And I remember going into the Word of God and reading this word ahead and after and saying, oh no, because it was true. And then what was I going to do? That's exactly the same place that Peter's bringing these folks that are standing before him as he's speaking on the day of Pentecost. He is presenting them words that they know and that they understand, and now they're going to have a decision to make. Are they going to come to the Lord Jesus and be saved? Because I have proven to you by the Word of God, by truth, that this is not David, but this is King Jesus. That's who you need to trust as your Savior, as your Messiah. Now, Peter did pay respect because he knew that this crowd highly regarded David, and so he didn't want to take away from that. But also, it was necessary that he would rightly divide the word and not lift a man up higher than to lift God up. And he was here to divide the word properly. Now, this word patriarch here in this 29th verse, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. Now, this patriarch, that word means the head or the ruler of a family or the chief man in a tribe or a nation. And David was that. He was the king of the nation of Israel. And so this word patriarch here is listed in this scripture verse concerning David. And they understood that. So by saying that, making that statement, he was clearly giving respect to David. He was lifting up David. He did not want to take that away. Peter showed great honor towards this royal family. However, David is dead. David is dead. And as we look at this verse of Scripture, David, that he is both dead and buried. His sepulcher is among us today. It is still here today. So, there was no one in that crowd that could question that David was dead and buried. No one could question that. Josephus, I was going to bring the book up so I could show you, if you would like some light reading this afternoon, why just grab a hold of the book of Josephus, and he's an historian during the time of Christ, and a wonderful book to read, just very light reading, and if you'll realize that is not a very true statement if you've ever looked up at Josephus, tiny little print, and I mean it is packed with wonderful history. I don't believe he was saved. It's not an inspired book by any means, but it is a great book of history. And so, if you don't own the book the history book of Josephus, why, you need to put that in your library. But Josephus tells us that there was so much evidence of David's burial because of his beautiful tomb that he was buried in. It was right there among them, and said that there was rooms that was surrounding his tomb, the room where he was buried. And in those rooms, there was up to 3,000 talents of gold. in respect to him. And I looked up to see, and I didn't find out, maybe you folks that trade in gold understand what an ounce of gold is worth. You can calculate this afternoon, because they said a talent is what a man can carry. And it's anywhere from 93 pounds, 12 ounces is what they thought that a talent weighed. It was what a man could carry. Another listing was maybe up to 125 pounds. So somewhere in that range, pounds per talent, 3,000 talents. Now you go home this afternoon and calculate what was in one single room in his tomb. 3,000 talents, 93 plus pounds, not ounces, pounds per talent. And that was just in one of the rooms. They never questioned that he was buried among them. They knew his body was still there. And that was the purpose of Peter bringing this message out of David's psalm forward so that they understood without question, we are not talking about David. No one questioned that David was in that tomb. Everybody agreed to that. All right, so if he's not in that tomb, if his body has seen corruption, then we're not talking about David here. We're talking about Jesus. And that's what Peter's here to tell them. Because our patriarch, our prophet David, told us all about this. Joel told us about the Holy Spirit. Our prophet David and Isaiah and others spoke so clearly about our Messiah that was to come. Now, folks, you know those words. Do you believe David? That was their question. Are you going to believe? You don't have to believe me. I'm just an old fisherman. But do you believe David, your king? That was the question. And that's what Peter was leading him up to. That's the reason he used these verses of Scripture. All of Israel accepted, because if you look at the 30th verse, therefore being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. That verse of Scripture, there was no question, therefore being a prophet. They accepted David as a prophet. They accepted that he was dead in that tomb. They accepted the fact that his body had deteriorated. Israel, the Jews, had accepted all those facts as Peter begins to build the case that our patriarch, our prophet David, spoke these great words telling us all about this Messiah that is here. And that's Peter's purpose. That's all of his purpose. Now, we're going to look some Scripture verses up. Take your left hand and go back to Psalms and then hold it there, because we're going to go into Psalms in a couple of areas there. So Psalms, starting with chapter 22. Psalms 22. And then we're going to go back to Matthew, but then back to Psalms, because I'm going to show you some of the prophecies that David made and how clear that they are. So Psalms 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, we know that one, don't we? Let's go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 27, verse 46. Matthew 27, verse 46. Matthew 27, 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The very words that David spoke. David the prophet, David your patriarch, David your king. He's the one that's telling you about this. And there's no question, because that scripture here in Acts says that your body will not see corruption. Your body is raised from the dead. David's in that grave. It can't be talking about David. It's talking about our King, Jesus. And that's what his purpose was, to bring him to the Messiah. Back to Psalms 22, verse 18. Psalms 22, 18, they part my garments among them, and they cast lots among their vesture. And we can go back to Matthew 27, verse 35. And they crucified him, and they parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Without question, David was talking about the Lord Jesus. And then back to the book of Acts, there are other scripture verses that confirm the same. But as we look back in Acts chapter 2 and we complete this 30th verse, therefore being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would rise up Christ to sit on his throne. Knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would rise up Christ to sit on his throne, on David's throne. It was going to come. It was going to come to pass. And so as we look at these verses of Scripture, and we're going to go back to Psalms 89. Psalms 89. Psalms 89, verse 3 and 4. Psalms 89, verse 3, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. The Messiah, the Lord Jesus, was prophesied by David that the descendants from David, it would be through David's seed that the Messiah would come. And as we look at these verses of Scripture, and it continues, thy seed will I establish forever, and will build up thy throne to all generations. David's dead. David's body's deteriorated in the tomb. This isn't talking about David. David talked about the Lord Jesus. And in here, and I was hoping to get this far today, and then we'll quit. I never have enough time. In verse 31, it says, he, seeing this before he spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. David, seeing. It didn't say in a vision. He didn't say how he did it. But it says that David, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. I believe David saw the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. I think God showed it to him. I think God showed that to him. And what a wonderful, seeing this before, means that the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, David foresaw the resurrection of the Messiah. Now, as we look in these promises that made to David, and we've got other verses of Scripture that I want to get to back in the end of verse 30. So we're going to stop here because I want to look at Psalms 132. I want to look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. We need to look at Luke chapter 3, chapter 11, verse 30 through 33. We need to look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. All those tie that in, and I don't want to rush through them. And so please, that you come back next week, and we'll begin with that section. But I wanted to read concerning this. David was not just prophesying, not just writing something down that God was telling him. I believe David had the opportunity, because of who David was. He was a prophet. He was a patriarch of the nation of Israel. And I think, and knowing that our Lord Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David and reign forever and ever. And what a promise our Scripture gives us here. And so please be back next week, and we will enjoy this wonderful Scripture. And it just continues each day. And again, if you would see my notes from one week to the next, well, I have to put extra pages in the middle because I keep studying and keep seeing things. And again, I hope that this text excites you, and I hope that you understand what Peter was doing. Peter was doing a scripture verse that and out of Psalms, out of Joel, that they very much were comfortable with. They knew, they understood, they believed. But they missed the Messiah. We know that. They missed the Messiah. And so Peter, on the day of Pentecost, is tying those two together. He's saying, it's this Jesus. And if you'll come down here in the end of verse 36, it says, God hath made this same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He brings it all together. And we'll do that probably in 6 or 7 weeks from now. And so we'll just we'll work towards it. And so let's close in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy your precious word. And each time it just seems that we move just a little further ahead, but there is just so much, Father, there. And we need to realize, as with any individual that we have the opportunity of talking to, it's not the words that we proclaim. It's not how great that we speak the words bringing somebody to Christ. It's, Father, your word. It's your word that when we present that word, and then the Holy Spirit has the opportunity to convict that heart, because it's the word, it's the truth that does it. And Peter's doing the same thing here with this crowd that he's speaking to. He is proclaiming the truth, the word of God, and he's bringing scripture verses that they knew. And so, Father, have us to speak your word, rightly divide it, and speak the truth, and help folks to see that light, the light of the Lord Jesus, and come to salvation. Please speak to all of our hearts today now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.